Hey, welcome into our daily editorial. It is Tuesday, Jimmy? It's the 19th, the 19th of April. I had a big announcement today within the Democratic Party that I didn't even know about until I got my daily educational lecture from Jim McKinney. Robert F. Kennedy has thrown his hat into the ring. Boy, that's really coming from left field for me anyway. I never thought that he would come in at this moment in time, but I guess he's in as of today. What do you think about that, Jim?
Well, I think it's a very interesting political dynamic for the Democrats. Now, yeah. Robert F. Kennedy right now is very famous for being anti-pharmaceutical, anti-big drug, and, of course, anti-vax, and very, very upset with what's happened with the COVID response.
Yeah.
So I think that's interesting dynamic. As he runs for president, he's going to, in the Democratic Party, he's going to inform and educate people on issues that they've actually not been allowed to hear or see because of the basic censorship that has been driven by the Democratic Party and Big Pharma and other corporate and government sources.
Yeah.
So that's a very interesting political dynamic, I think. Does he have a chance? Pretty unlikely.
Why do you say that? I would think that he would personally, but why do you say not that he doesn't?
Well, it's kind of like anybody that ran against Hillary Clinton or anybody that ran against Joe Biden. Once the Democratic Party establishment decides who they're going to support, they basically completely undermine any other candidate. And, of course, there's been a big effort to undermine Robert Kennedy because his views and his information and his book about, you know, Big Pharma and about the vaccinations and about COVID.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be very difficult to overcome the Democratic establishment as a Democrat candidate.
Yeah.
But what I think it'll be interesting is he will probably peel off and inform a certain number of people that will eventually become very dissatisfied with the party when they find out that they've been lied to over the effectiveness of masks, over the effectiveness of the vaccination, over the government censorship and silencing of information that was accurate. And at the same time, here's not a Republican, but a Democrat that's doing it with name recognition, with long-term family recognition, and of course, as a former president, and then his father himself, Bobby, being, you know, assassinated on the campaign trail in the late 60s in his run for president. So I think this is going to be an interesting dynamic, how the Democrats actually manage this. And it'll be fun to watch, but I think it's, in the long run, it'd be very hard for him to win, in spite of the fact that, you know, he will be appealing to kind of those frustrated people that are not supporting the direction, the progressive direction the Democratic Party's moved in the last couple of years.
Right.
So it will definitely wake people up if he is successful. And so far in his announcement, he had a very large crowd. He was in a very exotic place. He has a speech impediment, or I shouldn't say a speech impediment, but he's got a difficult time speaking. I'm not exactly sure what the condition is, but he's got a little bit stilted speech, but he's a very articulate, very intelligent man.
Well, of course
and
he
I
is.
Think he will be an interesting opponent for Joe Biden, whoever else runs in the Democratic Party against
him. Well, truly, he represents an offshoot of the party with one hell of a history, with Bobby, his dad. I don't know that I could support somebody like him, but I will say I think that puts the election in a whole different genre. And I really would have enjoyed being a mouse listening to the discussion that I'm sure he and his handlers had with the Biden regime, because I guess it was probably not an incredibly friendly conversation. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I think he's been very adamantly against what the Biden regime has done. And of course, the party is right now trying to decide what direction to go. Joe Biden has a very low approval rating.
Right.
And it's probably the approval ratings that you see are probably propped up by kind of bogus polling, stilted, focused polling that actually probably favors urban areas and Democratic voters, if in fact that it's all accurate. And I question the accuracy of it. I tend to think that there's quite a few more people in America that are frustrated with what's happening than are actually reflected in the polls.
Well, I'm sure there are. Yeah. You know, let me just break in here for a second. We had our Contemporary Affairs event yesterday in the conference center, and it was basically a very, very interesting conversation among, oh gosh, there are probably 50 people, but I call it a conversation because everybody really had a chance to have the podium, and it was interesting. I had a couple of interesting things to say, but I'm sure that everybody on this, you know, listening to this program knows what they were. I had the sense from this fellow who is supposedly a real expert, you know, the Jimmy McKinney of the West Coast, but he said some things that were really stupid. You know, I asked him, for example, how do you feel about the level of violence that's occurring in America today? Today being, you know, highlighted by what's going on in Chicago. And he, without batting an eye, said that's a misnomer. He said, if you look at other cities in the world of a similar population, the level of crime is minuscule. And I said, I don't think you can do that. I think Chicago is a very unique situation. Plus, it is in America. And he disagreed. That shows you. He's obviously very much a Democrat. But that shows our listeners actually what these guys are really like. And it's kind of sad, don't you think?
Well, that's what we've been talking about is
right,
they aren't willing to accept. They're trying to spin everything that they possibly can to justify their own emotional feelings. It's interesting to look at when you look at Twitter now, since Elon Musk took over, when someone like Marjorie Taylor Greene or Matt Walsh, these are famous or infamous, whatever you want to say it, voices on Twitter. Maybe conservative, maybe not conservative, maybe just, you know, popular with their opinions. When you look at the responses, it's usually like trashing the individual and calling them names.
Right.
It really doesn't address the argument. And it's usually diversionary. So they're responding to Matt Walsh when he shows a video of the violence in downtown Chicago, and they immediately call him a race baiter.
Right.
Marjorie Taylor Greene, you're an idiot. You've never read anything before, when she says we have information from the Treasury on the Biden family corruption.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. The responses are not very logical.
No.
They're not actually addressing the issue at hand. They're usually attacking the individual. And I think it is a symptom of this anger and this frustration that's been built up, that the hatred that's been perpetrated and modified and twisted by Democratic activists.
Yeah.
And it is a matter of, okay, we can't accept anything else anyone says, because if we do, it might undermine our own positions and beliefs. So let's just attack them.
Yeah.
And that's a sad scenario, but it's what we're facing right now in America. And many people, I mean, there are people that actually have been, you know, their children have been murdered, or they have had somebody hold them at gunpoint.
Right.
And they're like, well, you know, it's just unfortunate that these people that did this had such a bad upbringing. They don't look at it in a rational way. They're looking at it at an irrational way that justifies their own emotions and feelings that have been socially engineered, in my view. They're not logical. They're not. They're not thinking about their long term best interests or the long best term best interests of society when they make those types of comments. Yeah. So what happens in Mexico City is not should not be compared to what happens.
Oh, of course, of course not. Jimmy, I wanted to bring up one other thing. I was searching through CFP, Citizens Free Press, this morning for things to talk about, and or for major events that happened. They missed a couple of major events. When I went to them at about 8 o'clock this morning, there was nothing about Robert Kennedy Jr. and there was nothing whatsoever about the ban on assault weapon sales in my state, Washington State. But there was one kind of, I thought, outlandish story. The woman, the very outspoken member of Congress, I believe from Georgia, I forget her name right now, but she said that she has indisputable proof that the Biden family is involved in a major, large prostitution ring that is located worldwide. I would be surprised if that were the case, Jim.
So Marjorie Taylor Greene posted that, but the people that are actually do, so she's a Georgia, you know, a Republican,
you bet,
you know, very vocal congresswoman from Georgia.
Right.
But the people that have been doing the investigation and that have the data are actually the key members of the Judiciary Oversight Committee in the Senate, and that's Ron Johnson and Chuck Grassley. They have been digging into the Biden family finances for a long period of time, and they've finally gotten release information from the Treasury Department on a very complex system of limited liability corporations and sub-corporations that were used to move money from foreign interests into the Biden family coffers, into pockets. And one of these particular, according to the information now that's out there, and is related to a Russian Eastern European sexual trafficking ring. And of course, this could be related to you know, different companies that had that have association with the organization. Bottom line is, we have not seen all the details yet, but some of these senators and some congresspeople have seen the details. They're doing reports right now and preparing information. We are going to see a mass flow of information that very much undermines the credibility of Joe Biden's statements that he was not involved in his son's business dealings, and a lot of facts that show that they were very corrupt actions that were supporting a lot of these. We know that Hunter Biden was paying prostitutes. He's, you know, clearly it's identified in his own videos from his laptop. We know that he was involved with these other companies and corporations that were corrupt. There is no question that many of these had other business dealings that were probably involved in corruption as well. So it will taint this administration and the Biden family, I believe, very very heavily taint them with a lot of potential corruption actions.
And I think you're right, Jim, and there's any question about that. I think the whole complexion of the United States, though, may very well change in a very positive sense if Kennedy Jr. Gets any traction here in the upcoming election. I know that everybody in the United States pretty much says, you know, we can't deal with Joe Biden anymore. This has gotten to be just ridiculous. And with a name like Robert F. Kennedy Jr., unless there's some real dirt on this kid, my guess are this young man, my opinion, my guess is that he's probably got a pretty good chance.
So, you know, the problem, his biggest problem, I think, if he did not have this speech impediment, look, people are simple. They look at individuals, they trust them based on the way they look, the way they speak. Yeah. He has this order, I guess this disorder called spasmodic dysphonia, and it impacts his ability to speak. So he sounds stilted on occasion, somewhat like I do on the radio every now and again. But that actually inhibits people from supporting a candidate. That's just a reality.
Well, so let's compare him just for a minute to John Fetterman.
Right. That's true. But, you know, again, John Fetterman had the full backing of the Democratic Party and the progressive wing of the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
Robert Kennedy Jr. Does not. Now, he was 14 when his uncle was shot, I believe, when JFK was assassinated. And then he was probably 18 about 4 years later. And I guess it was, what, in 67 that Robert Kennedy was assassinated?
Right.
So I believe it was 67. So, you know, 18, he has experience. He's lived life. And, of course, he was, a very, very close – I mean, he's a direct descendant of Robert Kennedy and, you know, his son and the Kennedy family.
Yeah.
And, of course, grew up – well, his uncle, Ted Kennedy, was still a senator, very powerful senator for decades after the assassinations. So he has a very good political pedigree. He's got a very strong intellectual mind. He's a lawyer. He's been very articulate in how he writes and what he says. That will have an impact. There is no question. But people actually supporting him with the vote will be, I think, will be difficult. At the same time, it's really important for the Democratic Party to have alternatives to the Joe Biden progressive agenda right now. Gives him an opportunity to actually take away a large number of votes and possibly awaken a large number of Democratic voters. And this is the way I look at it. They awaken them to the corruption and the lies with the entire COVID scenario and what the Democrats did and what the Biden regime did.
Yeah.
What the CDC has done to silence information, what Anthony Fauci did to lie in front of Congress about gain of function research. He will continue to harp on those messages as a candidate.
Yeah.
That actually may turn people away. He may not win the primary challenge against whatever Democrat goes up on the lead there. And if it is Biden, I think that'll be very interesting. But he will definitely wake people up on the Democratic side to some of the deception that they've been suffering under. And when he does that, it will open a door for somebody like Trump or another Republican candidate that wins the primary. And by far and away, Trump has the advantage on the Republican side right now.
Oh, sure he does. He is pretty much the undisputed nominee, I would have to say, at this point. Jimmy, 17 minutes. We're going to lose people's interest. We had brought up four very important things that happened today. Anything else you want to say?
No, I think, you're right. What's not on Fox? Here's one other thing that was not on Fox, their settlement with Dominion lawsuit over the defamation case.
Yeah,
and I think that was absolutely disastrous for media in all cases because it's going to open to the door for other defamation suits against other journalists. But ultimately, it's going to intimidate and silence journalists from reporting information that they have based on, what they have. I don't think anything was done out of malice here, but basically the Murdoch family, including Lachlan Murdoch, who's now managing it, decided to do this, and the executive committee did that in order to appease the mob.
Right.
And I think that was an incredibly disastrous decision.
Yeah.
But, of course, you're not seeing that on Fox. You're not seeing this information coming out about the Biden family connections. You're not seeing that Kerry Lake is ahead by 28 points for a Senate seat in Arizona and making headway in her case about the governorship there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of information that's being hidden that's very being hidden by corporate media, including Fox, that is going to affect the nation very, very soon and with significant impact.
Yeah, I have a sense right now, just kind of coming up from the back of my head. My sense is things are going to get better pretty quickly. Jimmy, thank you so much.
Yeah, you bet, Al.